From Dean Blundell, breaking: Trump regime is quietly begging for access to Ukrainian drone expertise through back channels as Zelensky preps Canada drone warfare deal. May 12, 2026. Yesterday in Kyiv, Volodymyr Zelensky, a guy Donald Trump screamed at in the Oval Office 14 months ago, paused military aid to, and let J.D. Vance lecture about gratitude on national television, sat down with Alex Karp, the CEO of Palantir. Karp flew in, and the two of them announced their deepening cooperation on AI-driven battlefield software, including a platform called Brave One Data Room, where, per Ukraine's defense minister, more than 100 companies are already training over 80 AI models on real combat data to detect and intercept AI while threats. Zelensky didn't fly to him. Karp's company is now openly described by Ukraine's own defense ministry as helping plan deep strikes inside Russia. The CEO of the most powerful defense AI firm on Earth showed up in Kyiv on a Tuesday in May 2026 and effectively said, "This is where the future of war is being written, and I want to be in the room." That same week, Zelensky announced that nearly 20 countries are now lined up for what Ukraine is calling drone deals, bilateral agreements to co-produce Ukrainian-designed drones, interceptors, electronic warfare systems, and the AI that runs them. Four are already signed: Germany, Norway, the Netherlands, plus 10-year defense export partnerships with Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar. And on May 11, Zelensky said the next major agreement being prepared is with Canada. Canada, the country Trump has spent the last year calling the 51st state and trying to economically bully into submission. Here's what Canada's already done. In August 2025, PM Mark Carney flew to Kyiv on Ukraine's Independence Day and signed a letter of intent on Canada-Ukraine joint production of defense material. He committed CA to $120 million specifically for drone, counter-drone, and electronic warfare capabilities, including joint ventures between Canadian and Ukrainian industry. The Department of National Defense stood up a whole new office, the Directorate of Military Assistance Coordination, or DMAC, to broker these partnerships. The first concrete deal is already in motion. Hamilton, Ontario-based Sentinel R&D is in advanced talks with a Ukrainian drone company to manufacture the RECAM 3.2 of 500-kilometer range, pilot-agnostic, fixed-wing UAV on Canadian soil. DMAC buys them. Canada donates them to Ukraine, and Canadian industry inherits the IP, the manufacturing know-how, and 4 years of the most battle-tested drone design lessons in human history. Then in March 2026, Ottawa dropped another $900 million on a national drone strategy with a dedicated drone innovation center. Zelensky himself said in February that Ukraine now has 450 drone companies feeding its battlefield an industrial model, and AI members are scrambling to replicate before they need it themselves. Ukraine is currently producing over 4 million drones a year, and Zelensky says they could double it with the right funding. Canada is buying a ticket on that train. So is everyone else. Now ask yourself, where is the United States in this picture? Here's where it gets ugly for American defense. In August 2025, in a closed-door White House meeting, Zelensky personally offered Trump Ukraine's interceptor drone technology, the cheap, devastatingly effective stuff Ukraine has been using to swat down Iranian made Shahed for years. The Ukrainians brought a PowerPoint. They literally warned in writing that Iran is improving its Shahed-1-way attack drone design. They proposed building drone combat hubs in Turkey, Jordan, and the Gulf, exactly where U.S. bases sit. They structured it like a Trump deal. Jobs in America. U.S. companies get a cut of production. Ukraine buys American weapons in return. Trump's administration dismissed it, then gave his sons billions in U.S. taxpayer-funded grants to own the drone supply chain. Soup to nuts. Then the U.S. bombed Iran on February 28, 2026. Iran's Shahed drones started killing American servicemen. And in March, two U.S. officials speaking to Axios on background said the snub of Ukraine's offer ranks as one of the biggest tactical miscalculations of the entire Iran conflict. The Pentagon is now, per the same reporting, scrambling to send personnel to Ukraine to pull the tech and the tactics from the Ukrainian military. They want what Zelensky offered them for free. They want it badly enough that on July 3, 2025, Zelensky announced a deal with Swift Beat, Eric Schmidt's drone startup, to jointly produce hundreds of thousands of drones, including interceptors. Schmidt, former CEO of Google. Signing ceremony with Zelensky and the Ukrainian defense minister. This is where, according to reporting today from who's been talking directly to people in the know, the Trump family's domestic consolidation of U.S. drone manufacturing starts to look less like industrial strategy and more like a desperate, late-stage attempt to corner a market that's already moving offshore without them. While Trump was still publicly trashing Ukraine on Truth Social, his former tech industry rivals were quietly cutting the deals he refused to. No one has done deeper work to understand how Trump and his crime family have tried to roll up the drone warfare supply chain in the U.S. than former congressmen. The problem? Data. They need 4 years of drone warfare data that only Ukraine has. Then, of course, there's the issue of Russia being on the verge of collapse, and Ukraine is on the verge of winning. Trump hates associating with losers, even though he's the definition. Ken told us today that weapons makers and the Trump regime are watching Russia's collapse in real time, while Ukraine, out of desperation, has become the world's drone modern warfare superpower in the process. In short, Trump's regime is starting to realize, not seize, lol, Russia is losing, Ukraine is winning, and they'd like a re. Do they just don't want you knowing about it, of course. Want to know the tell? Watch Trump's Truth Social feed. Go back and look. From the Oval Office blow-up in March 2025 through the summer, Trump was calling Zelensky a dictator, accusing him of starting the war, and threatening to cut him loose. Then came Vladimir's stop in April 2025. Then he has gone absolutely crazy about Putin in May. Then the UN General Assembly meeting in September, where Trump suddenly suggested Ukraine could win back all its territory. Then last week's three-day ceasefire announcement, where Trump publicly thanked President Zelensky for agreeing to his initiative. No more dictator. No more no cards. When was the last time you saw a Truth Social post calling Zelensky a criminal? When was the last full, voted pro-Putin post? They've evaporated. The man who once paused military aid to Ukraine to force Zelensky into a Putin friendly settlement is now publicly grateful to him on a Friday afternoon. Russia is grinding through its third year of an economy on war footing with depleted reserves, a battered Black Sea fleet, and a shot-dependent air war that Ukrainian interceptors, the same ones Trump turned down, are increasingly neutralizing. Ukraine just demonstrated the ability to strike targets over 1,000 kilometers deep into Russia with domestically made weapons. 11 Russian regions canceled Victory Day celebrations, citing security concerns. And every general, every defense executive, every Pentagon procurement officer who reads the same intelligence Trump reads has come to the same quiet conclusion. The future of warfare is being built in Ukraine and exported to America's allies and the United States by Trump's choice, against the device of his own military, is on the outside looking in. The country that was supposed to roll over Kyiv in 72 hours is rerouting air defense from its own regions to protect Red Square for a parade. That's why Eric Schmidt signed with Swift Beat. That's why Alex Karp got on a plane to Kyiv yesterday. That's why the Pentagon is baggy.